From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. I'm Abby Larico. The Republican National Convention begins today after an attempt on the life of their presumed presidential candidate, Donald Trump. Coming up on The Gateway, how our local lawmakers are responding to the events of the weekend and preparing for the week ahead. And a one-time member of the Hollywood paparazzi who relocated to St. Louis has published a novel based on the everyday lives of his new neighbors.
When I meet people, I kind of get the inspiration from somebody, and then it's a bit like Frankenstein. I melt another 20 people into that character to make the final product.
St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin gets the view of St. Louis from a relative newcomer, plus other news for this Monday, July 15th. U.S. Senator Josh Hawley wants a public congressional investigation into the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump in Pennsylvania. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more.
Hawley is a member of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. He says the leaders of the Secret Service and the Department of Homeland Security need to testify under oath in that Senate committee. He called Saturday's shooting a massive security failure.
This simply cannot happen again. And as I say, it is miraculous that Trump is alive this morning.
FBI officials say 20-year-old Thomas Matthew Crooks opened fire at a rally Saturday afternoon in Butler, Pennsylvania, killing at least one person and injuring Trump in the upper ear. He plans to attend the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri and Illinois political figures from both parties condemned the attempt on the former president's life over the weekend and expressed sympathy for the others at the rally who were killed or injured. U.S. Senators Dick Durbin and Tammy Duckworth, both Illinois Democrats, decried the attack, with Duckworth saying in a statement that, quote, "those responsible for this must be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law." Missouri Congresswoman Cori Bush, a Democrat, added, quote, "we must always collectively condemn political violence." GOP Missouri Senator Eric Schmidt said in a statement Saturday that he, quote, "was praying for President Trump and everyone who was in attendance at the rally, including the family and loved ones of the innocent attendee that was reportedly shot and killed." Security is the name of the game for the Republican National Convention this week. Delegates are traversing a maze of concrete barriers, 10-foot-high fencing, and police everywhere you look. Illinois delegates say they're okay with the security presence. Alex Stegman reports.
I'm standing at the corner of King Drive and State Street watching some state police officers directing traffic. And to be fair, this is my first political convention, and it could very well be that this is always how it is, but movement is severely restricted. Now, security safeguards are being set up in the wake of an assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump, and the Illinois delegation is confident that these security measures are going to be enough.
I think in all the other conventions, security was a lot lax. From the Democrats to from 96 that I know, 2000, 2008, it was much less security than what we see today.
That's Bob Fioretti, the former Chicago alderman who's the Republican candidate for Cook County State's Attorney. He's not a delegate, but is among hundreds of Illinoisans who made the trip north to support the delegation as it nominates Donald Trump to be president. Aaron Del Mar is an elected delegate. This is the State Central Committeeman's third convention, and like Fioretti, commended law enforcement agencies for pulling out all the stops, especially at Sunday night's welcome party that drew more than 10,000 people.
It took a little bit longer than normally to get in, but they were incredibly thorough. As soon as you got through security, you felt amazingly safe. And there were drones, as you saw in the air. I don't know if you saw that or not. There also were multiple helicopters that were here.
Thousands of law enforcement officers from across the country are in Milwaukee. Sunday, I saw officers from everywhere from Columbus, Ohio, to the U.S. Capitol Police. But even though Del Mar feels safe, he says it's not just about him.
My mom and dad are very concerned. My wife's very concerned, and my children are concerned. I'm constantly getting texts from them saying, hey, are you okay? Are you checking it out? Are you being safe? We miss you. We love you. Please make good decisions while you're here.
The attempt on Trump's life last weekend did more than just beef up security. It galvanized his base in Illinois, a reliably blue state. As the bloodied former president was whisked away by Secret Service, he raised a closed fist in the air and shouted fight to his supporters. Bob Fioretti says they will.
I've been fortunate of the people that I've seen from Illinois here that have thought this is it. You know, they're going to move hard. They're going to be knocking on doors, get the vote out early, get people early voting and do what needs to be done in the state of Illinois. And I sense a change all the way across the board.
Aaron Del Mar thinks this could be the unifying moment.
I think it galvanized a lot of the Republican Party. I think it brought over a lot of those that weren't solely Donald Trump fans, maybe the Nikki Haley part of the party. And we are more unified, energized, energetic, and resilient than we have ever been before.
The work to galvanize Illinois Republicans begins in earnest today at breakfast. Congressman Mike Most is scheduled to speak as the state party rallies around Trump. It remains to be seen, however, if they can rally around themselves and move the party forward in Illinois. I'm Alex Degman.
Parts of the St. Louis region will close this week for a staged earthquake featuring scenes of damaged buildings and crisis actors. This is part of a disaster preparedness exercise happening today through Wednesday by the St. Louis Area Regional Response System and Task Force 46, a Michigan National Guard team. Busch Stadium will host search and rescue training, chemical decontamination exercises, and helicopter launches during the dense urban terrain military training. Samantha Lewis is executive director of the Regional Response System. She says it's the largest such drill in St. Louis history.
Now we have people that are practicing this exercise that are involved all the way from the states to the local to the feds. So it's just a multi-level exercise because all different levels of government are involved.
The drills are closed to the public, with 8th and Clark Streets downtown closed during the day. Fort Leonard Wood is losing its band, one that has served soldiers and the community for 70 years. St. Louis Public Radio's Jonathan All reports the Army's announced the band that has been stationed at the post west of Rolla will be dissolved this fall.
The 399th Army Band plays at military ceremonies on post, like the installation of a new commander. And also at community events, including a Waynesville High School celebration of area students that are choosing to go into the military. The Army has announced the group will be disbanded and its members reassigned as part of a restructuring plan. David Sampson is the director of bands at Missouri S&T. He says it's a major hit to the region's cultural offerings.
It's a professional band that plays not just on Fort, but all over the state. Here in Rolla, down in Springfield, St. Louis Cardinal baseball games. It's good for the military. It's good for the citizens of Missouri. And to have that taken away, I feel like we're kind of getting cheated.
Fort Leonard Wood said in a statement it's proud of the band's history and plans for a farewell tour are underway. In Rolla, I'm Jonathan All, St. Louis Public Radio.
A London native wrapped up his career as a photographer of celebrities and photo editor for a supermarket tabloid and moved to St. Louis. James Aylott's novel about life in the city chronicles a week in the lives of 11 St. Louisans living in a downtown apartment building. It's called Tales of Whiskey Tango from Misery Towers. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin asked Aylott how he went from working as a member of the Hollywood paparazzi to writing a novel inspired by the everyday lives of his new neighbors.
It was almost like being a big game hunter. You would figure out who had the biggest price on their head. Hopefully you would start the day with Cindy Crawford coming out of the gym, and then you would say, well, I've got that. That's paid the gas money. Let me spend the afternoon outside Brad Pitt's house, and hopefully he goes jogging.
The cultural impression of the work the paparazzi do is that photographers are out there essentially stalking celebrities and invading their privacy. Would you describe it that way? Is that what you saw and did?
Stalking is a legal definition that we don't go along with. It's First Amendment news gathering. In the 90s, the magazines were craving for pictures of celebrities. So, you know, don't blame the photographers, blame the public.
How did you wind up in St. Louis?
2016, we sold the paparazzi business. The business had changed. I was pretty much burnt out. With my wife, we were expecting our first child. Her job transferred from Hawaii to St. Louis. I'm like, you know what? Why don't we give it a go? Let's give it 6 months, see how we like it.
And so where did you move to in St. Louis?
We had a temporary apartment downtown with this incredible view of the arch.
And that's where I met you. I just want to be clear.
Yep,
that's how
yep.
We crossed paths at that apartment building.
Correct. We met in the pool. And it's always dangerous talking to me because you could end up in one of my books. And you were, I had about 25 different characters. You could have been in the book, but I ran out of space.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, when I meet people, I kind of get the inspiration from somebody, and then it's a bit like Frankenstein. I melt another 20 people into that character to make the final product. So you might not have recognized yourself.
You and I have both been in the city for a similar amount of time, and I think hearing a transplant's view can be very helpful to people who've been here a long time, but also we have to be missing some of the nuance, right, of what it's like to live here.
I do feel like I would always be an imposter here. It'd be hard to crack the establishment here, that's for sure. But, you know, some of that I give them credit for, because some of it, there is a culture here that they are keeping and nurturing. And for better or worse, I got to respect it. So I'm in St. Louis, and when you move here, when you're not from here, you become aware of things that are strange. You know, like you start noticing on the doors of buildings, these signs that say, keep your gun out of this building. And you're like, well, this is kind of weird. And, you know, the high school thing here, I was like, well, this is kind of funky. And the more you dig into it, the more the high school, it's obviously people don't really care what high school you went to. They want to know who you are, your socioeconomic status. What are you going to do for them?
That's a very interesting point. So you see the where did you go to high school question as a sort of classification process? How do I understand where you fit into this society?
Correct. You know, are you the kind of person that is going to be my friend? Where did you grow up? What's your religion? You know, can I do business with you? Are you someone I'd like to marry my daughter off to? It's sort of it came across almost like a cult. And then you drive around the city and you see things like the Del Mar Divide. And so the more you explore the city and the more you dig into its history, the more interesting it became. You know, the book really, I would say it's a love letter to St. Louis. It might be a tough love letter. You know, I've had a couple of people said I couldn't finish it because it was too downbeat on St. Louis. The main character, he does have a choice to make. Is he going to be wooed off to Los Angeles or is he going to stay in St. Louis? If you read the whole book, by the end, it's a tale of redemption for St. Louis, and I think it's positive.
That was author James Aylott speaking to St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin. Our David Cazares edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.